The next call came shortly after 2:30 a.m., and like every call at such an hour, the phone seemed to ring forever, both during sleep and afterward. Ray finally managed to grab it and switch on a light.
"Ray, this is Harry Reck. Sorry to call."
"What is it?" he said, knowing too well that it was not good.
"Forrest. I've spent the last hour talking to him and some nurse at Baptist Hospital in Memphis. They've got him there, I think, with a broken nose."
"Back up, Harry Rex.
He went to a bar, got drunk, got in a fight, the usual. Looks like he picked on the wrong guy, and now he's getting his face stitched up. They want to keep him overnight. I had to talk to the staff there and guarantee payment. I also asked them not to give him painkillers and drugs. They have no idea who they've got there."
"I'm sorry you're in the middle of this, Harry Rex."
"I've been here before, and I don't mind. But he's crazy, Ray. He started again about the estate and how he's getting screwed out of his rightful share, all that crap. I know he's drunk and all, but he just won't leave it alone."
"I talked to him 5 hours ago. He was fine."
"Well, he must have been headed for the bar. They finally had to sedate him to reset his nose. Otherwise, it would have been impossible. I'm just worried about all the drugs and stuff. What a mess."
"I'm sorry, Harry Rex," Ray said again, because he could think of nothing else to say. There was a pause as Ray tried to collect his thoughts. "He was fine just a few hours ago. Clean, sober. Seems so, anyway."
"Did he call you?" Harry Rex asked.
"Yeah, he was excited about a new job."
"At Skinny Bend crap?"
"Yeah. Is it a real job?"
"I think so. There are a bunch of lawyers down here chasing those cases. Quantity's crucial. They hire guys like Forrest to go out and round them up."
"They ought to be disbarred."
"Half of us should. I think you need to come home. The sooner we can open the estate, the sooner we can get Forrest calmed down. I hate these accusations."
"Do you have a court date?"
"We can do it Wednesday of next week. I think you ought to stay for a few days."
"I was planning on it. Book it. I'll be there."
"I'll notify Forrest in a day or so. Try to catch him sober."
"Sorry, Harry Rex." Not surprisingly, Ray couldn't sleep. He was reading a biography when his new cell phone rang. Had to be a wrong number. "Hello?" he said suspiciously.
"Why are you awake?" asked the deep voice of Corey Crawford.
"Because my phone keeps ringing."
"Where are you?"
"We're watching. You okay?"
"I'm fine. It's almost 4 in the morning. You guys ever sleep?"
"We nap a lot. I'd keep the lights out if I were you."
"Thank you. Anybody else watching my lights?"
"Not yet."
"That's good."
"Just checking in."
Ray turned off the lights in the front of his apartment and retreated to his bedroom, where he read with aid of a small lamp. Sleep was made even more difficult with the knowledge that he was being billed $100 an hour through the night. "It's a wise investment," he kept telling himself. At exactly 5 a.m., he sneaked down his hallway as if someone on the ground down there might see him, and he brewed coffee in the dark. Waiting for the first cup, he called Crawford, who, not surprisingly, sounded groggy.
"I'm brewing coffee. You want some?" Ray asked.
"Not a good idea, but thanks."
"Look, I'm flying to Atlantic City this afternoon. You got a pen?"
"Yeah, let's have it."
"I'm leaving from General Aviation in a white Beach Bonanza, tail number 815 Romeo, at 3 p.m., with a flight instructor named Fogg Newton. We'll stay tonight at the Canyon Casino and return around noon tomorrow. I'll leave my car at the airport, locked as usual. Anything else?"
"You want us in Atlantic City?"
"No, that's not necessary. I'll move around a lot up there and try to watch my rear."